from the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in Detroit's News Center, this is the University of Toledo's The Relevant University.
I'm your host, Larry Burns, Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo. Tonight, we'll explore unique and innovative partnerships that help increase access to higher education. And that's with Rich Weinkauf, Vice President of Instruction at Schoolcraft College, who will talk about the recently debuted Schoolcraft to You program. Dan Steinbeck, Dean of the University of Toledo College of Law, announces a new initiative to make law degrees more affordable for Michiganders. Bill McCreary, Executive Director of the new UT One World Schoolhouse, reveals plans for unique technology and programs in this initiative. And Mike Hansen, President of the Michigan Community College Association, shares their advocacy efforts for the state's 28 public community colleges. It's all coming up next on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University, here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Just a few weeks ago, Schoolcraft College announced an exciting new initiative called Schoolcraft to You. The college has partnered with the University of Toledo and Wayne State University to offer university courses at its main campus in Livonia. Here today to tell us more about this innovative program is Rich Weinkauf, Schoolcraft's Vice President for Instruction. And Rich, who joined Schoolcraft in 2005 after many years in the pharmaceutical industry, oversees the academic functions of the college with more than 36,000 students. Rich, welcome to the Relevant University.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Yep, appreciate it very much. Enjoy seeing you from time to time at Schoolcraft. And I know we had a wonderful announcement a few weeks ago and great coverage in the media, both in Toledo and Detroit. But can you tell our listeners on the Relevant University a bit more about the Schoolcraft to You initiative and how this might be different than traditional university centers of other colleges?
Sure, Larry. This announcement was energizing, I think, for all of our institutions, because we're all excited about what it does for our students. This partnership goes well beyond the typical campus space rental agreements that you find in traditional university centers, and it builds a truly integrated relationship that translates to a seamless educational experience for students taking advantage of the partnership. So that's, you know, we can describe that from the administrative and the college standpoint, but what this means for a student is that credits will transfer easily to both universities. UT students are going to be paying in-state tuition. We have shared services, so students don't have to go elsewhere to do the usual financial aid and counseling and advising. We'll have professionals from both universities and Schoolcraft at everyone's disposal. So it's a really nice, beautiful, tight partnership, but we're putting ourselves in the students' shoes so that we're always working from that aspect to make it as easy for the student as possible.
Absolutely. You know, and at UT we try to be as student-centered, student-friendly as possible, and the program that you're describing fits right into that of UT in this case, or Wayne State in their case, of coming out to Livonia to having a presence for students to feel as if they really do belong at both places, at Schoolcraft or at UT, and having student services offered, as you mentioned, in-state tuition. What we'll do there is we'll have a scholarship program that really allows them to pay in-state. And so that's something we think the accessibility and the affordability is something that's very important.
That's absolutely right, Larry. For students taking advantage of the programs that we'll be offering through UT and Wayne State, they'll be Wayne State. They'll be UT students. They'll have access to the sporting events and the social events and the campuses. So we're really making this much different than maybe what most people, what comes to mind for most folks when they think of a university center where the students really have to make their own way, handle their own admissions, walk across to the university center location, make sure they get their classes, that kind of thing, and then work with those universities to get transfers. Ours is a nice, total, complete package.
Right. And we're talking with Rich Weinkauf, who is vice president of instruction at Schoolcraft College in Livonia, about the new partnership known as Schoolcraft to You. And what programs, what degree programs are going to be included to start with at UT and Wayne State, Rich?
Well, at University of Toledo, we're looking at Bachelor of Science degrees in nursing. And this is registered nurse to Bachelor of Science in nursing. So
right.
This is
the
a
BSN.
Program for folks with already have graduated with a two-year degree and have a registered nursing license. So not only good for our students, but great for any working nurse in this area of Michigan. We're looking at a Bachelor of Science from UT in Criminal Justice and also a BS in Health Information Management Administration, along with a Bachelor of Professional Studies for those of our students who graduate from Schoolcraft with an applied degree, an Associate in Applied Science. Mm-hmm. It gives them a four-year option. Over at Wayne State, we're looking at Bachelor of Business Administration degrees in Accounting and Management. We have Bachelor of Science degrees in Engineering Technology and Computer Science, and we have a Master's in Business Administration, too.
Right, and that's just to begin with. We hope to add many more. And now, one of the questions I know people have often are university professors, in this case UT, actually going to give lectures in Livonia, or students have to take all their courses online?
Well, I think that's up to the universities. As we continue to craft these programs, there is definitely going to be a component of online. We're also looking forward to having the professors from these universities, from Wayne State and UT, on ground, if that's how we determine that we're going to deliver the course offerings. So you'll get University of Toledo professors and Wayne State professors as part of this partnership. That goes without
saying. Yeah, and it just so happened that the two programs we're starting with, two of the three, nursing and criminal justice, we've excelled online for a long time. But it certainly is our intention to have UT current faculty members go to Livonia and then recruit new part-time faculty members that actually live in the Livonia area. And one of the other questions that people might have, being that Schoolcraft is in Livonia, Michigan, and why did you and your president decide to cross the state line to partner with the University of Toledo, which is in Ohio?
Well, a key in selecting University of Toledo for this partnership was to offer our students something they couldn't get within the western Wayne County area. This is a brand new partnership. University of Toledo brings to bear some incredible experience and very respected programs that we're talking about. We're looking forward to how we're going to expand and add additional programs in the future. And University of Toledo's reputation precedes it, especially in these professional training areas of nursing and criminal justice.
Last question is that if somebody's listening, how does a student learn more about the program or actually sign up to be part of Schoolcraft to You?
Just visit the Schoolcraft College website at schoolcraft.edu and click on the Schoolcraft to You logo right in the middle of the page for more information.
Well, we really are delighted to be part of this, and we look forward to a long-lasting relationship, Rich.
Thanks, Larry.
You. Yep, thank you. That was Rich Weinkauf, Vice President of Instruction, for our new partner, Schoolcraft College. And coming up next, the University of Toledo continues to blur the line between Michigan and Ohio with a new initiative to make a law degree more affordable for Michiganders. You don't want to miss this announcement when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues right here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
Now, back to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight's program is brought to you by the University of Toledo. And once again, your host, Larry Burns.
The University of Toledo College of Law has the lowest in-state tuition in Ohio while providing an excellent legal education. This great value will soon be available for Michigan residents. And starting next school year, all Michiganders will be eligible to pay in-state tuition prices. That's right, in-state tuition prices at our UT Law School. And joining me now on the Relevant University is Dean Dan Steinbach from our UT College of Law to tell us more about not only this new program, but about our law school in general. So, Dan, welcome to the Relevant University.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Yep, appreciate it very much. And so, in the intro, I say beginning in fall of 2014, everyone in Michigan who is eligible, in other words, I think who gets in to attend Toledo Law, will pay the same tuition rates as Ohioans. Can you tell our listeners, both in Michigan, Ohio, and other places, about the program?
Yes. It's called our Michigan Resident Scholarship Guarantee. And as you say, it guarantees in-state tuition for residents of Michigan for all 3 years of law school. There are no conditions other than residency, and it is automatically renewable, meaning one doesn't have to maintain a certain grade point or anything else other than that Michigan residency, or, of course, Ohio residency. Somebody should move here.
Right, right.
We have, for 10 years, we have had a program similar to this for residents of southeast Michigan, six counties there.
Okay.
And it's worked so well, and we've gotten such good students out of it, that we decided to expand it statewide. The other thing people should know is, well, first of all, they don't have to apply separately. If we see their Michigan residents, they're considered. But there are other kinds of scholarship money available in the form of merit and other kinds of scholarships that can provide up to full tuition and even a stipend beyond that. So what this Michigan scholarship guarantee provides is it covers the out-of-state surcharge.
Right.
But the other scholarships can go as far as to cover the entire cost.
Absolutely. And I attend just about every year your scholarship award ceremony. As you know, me and my family created a scholarship or an award in honor of my brother, who was an attorney who died at too young of an age. And so we get to see how these students can not only get this benefit, but also qualify for many, many other opportunities to reduce that cost.
That's right. And applications are free as well on our website, law.utoledo.edu. All of this has prompted us to ask the question, what if Michigan's most affordable law school is in Ohio? And I think that's something
that
people
sounds
in
like
Michigan...
That sounds like a marketing tagline.
I think it may have come from your office.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's brilliant. So we really are now, if not the lowest, one of the lowest law schools in the state of Michigan, right?
We are the most affordable law school in the state of Michigan.
Well, and we're in Ohio, but we're close.
We're very close. Yeah. We're a few miles south of the line.
And that's great news. Now, for those that aren't that familiar with our law school, we're recognized not only as a great value, but a very highly competitive bar exam passage rates, which I know people look at very closely. And then, even more important, employment after graduation. And can you talk a little bit about both the bar exam passage rate and how we do compared to maybe others,
mm-hmm.
And then employment after graduation in this very competitive environment that we live in?
I'm happy to. I'm very happy to, because in Michigan, our graduates' bar passage rate has been above the state passage rate average for 13 of the last 13 Michigan bar exams.
Really?
In July, this past July, the most recent one, we were second in the state only to the University of Michigan.
We were second.
Second, that's right. And in 2011, we were first in Michigan, ahead of all the Michigan law schools. We have done, as I say, consistently well, our graduates, most of those who take the Michigan bar are Michigan residents.
Okay, so let's say I live in Monroe or downriver and I go to UT Law. Chances are I'm going to take the Michigan bar versus the Ohio bar, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Though sometimes people, they establish connections here and stay. But most of them do go back to Michigan, take the Michigan bar. And they've done, as I say, remarkably well on the Michigan bar. And I think it's one of our greatest strengths in addition to the affordability that we offer. You mentioned employment.
Mm-hmm.
We have an entire three-year program to prepare people for the profession of law and even related professions, things like compliance officers or business type of jobs, and people are well prepared. There are a lot of experiential learning courses here, externships, in-house clinics, so that people can get real practical training. We're about to modify our curriculum and change our curriculum a little bit, which will even provide more opportunities for that. And we are having good success in people getting jobs. It is a difficult market, and having this kind of preparation is really important.
Absolutely. You know, the bar exam is one thing extremely important, but getting a job is probably right there along with it. And we're talking with University of Toledo Law School Dean Dan Steinbach about a new program that offers all Michiganders in-state tuition at UT Law, and then some of the great things about our school. And one of the things that you and I have talked about is about experiential learning is we're the presenting sponsor, as you well know, of Intern in Ohio, and we're looking to somehow tie the law school into that to make internships or opportunities while people are in law school even more affordable and accessible to do that.
Yes, and I know that that system is capable of doing that.
Yep, so we're going to work. We're going to get that done, I promise.
Great.
Now, you know, a lot of universities, if not most, pay very close attention to different rankings and things of that nature. And our law school was named one of the nation's finest by what is many times known as sort of the top review, and that's the Princeton Review, and appearing in its best 169 law school rankings. And what does that ranking reflect on, in your opinion, as dean of the college?
I think the most important thing it reflects is student satisfaction. Our students are uniformly, I shouldn't say uniformly, but overwhelmingly happy here. Let me read you a student comment that appears in the Princeton Review.
Okay.
And this is a quote from one of our current students. Every aspect of the school strikes the perfect balance between professionalism and personal attention. Another student noted the faculty's, quote, willingness to sit and chat with students about class at any time while connecting what we learn to real-life use. And one of the things we offer is we are not a large law school.
Mm-hmm.
We are a small law school in a compact building in which it is impossible, essentially, to avoid interaction with the faculty. And when it comes time for references and job tips, that is invaluable. I sometimes say it is you have to work hard at this law school not to be known by your faculty.
Right, and you're right, because of the building, although it is relatively small, I think it's pretty architecturally cool. And it's right on our main campus, and so I know many of the law students, be it traditional aged or maybe a little older, take advantage of some of the traditional university facilities because they're so close by, and so I think that's an advantage as well.
Yeah, and it's on the edge of the city in a very nice residential area also.
So one of the things, and part of my job, as you know, and you're great to work with, is to get our faculty known and to be a expert on different things, and one of the people we go to all the time is Jeffrey Rapp, who is a sports law expert. And do we have a number of people like that on our faculty that that not only are good educators but also have a well-known field that they're consulted on?
A surprisingly high number. Jeff Rapp is an expert in sports law as well as business law. We have Joe Slater, who's a top expert in labor law. We have really excellent people who speak around the country on constitutional law. We're developing an expertise in health law, and on and on.
Yeah, and I know many of them, and they're outstanding to work with, and they go to football games, and they're real rockets indeed. So, Dan, thank you very much for being on the Relevant University.
It's been my pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
And we're very proud of what you've done with your faculty and your students at UT Law.
Thank you. Go Rockets.
Go Rockets. Hey, innovative technology is another avenue for colleges and universities to increase access to a degree. Innovators like Saul Khan have inspired a new one-world schoolhouse at the University of Toledo. Learn more about it when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues. Here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Salman Khan, known as an innovator of higher education, recently visited Toledo in September to kick off a distinguished lecture series for our Jessup Scott Honors College. His successful Khan Academy platform integrates technology and education in revolutionary ways. And it is the inspiration of the new One World Schoolhouse at the University of Toledo. The initiative is led by Bill McCreary, who joins UT from the NSG Global Glass Technology Company, where he was its chief technology officer, among many other things. We're glad that you're here. I know we're catching you in California. You're doing some cool things out there as it relates to our interprofessional immersive simulation center. And today we want to talk mostly about this UT One World Schoolhouse, which was inspired by Sal Khan and his book of the same name. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about this new initiative for the University of Toledo?
Glad to, Larry. Really, there's a few components in the One World Schoolhouse. The first and kind of cornerstone of the schoolhouse is really the simulation gaming division, where we're going to be building educationally based simulations for various classrooms, which really fit very closely with the Khan Academy model of the flipped classroom. The second piece is a learning innovation lab, which we affectionately call LIL, which is kind of an incubator of new educational modalities. And third is international connection, where we're going to bring a lot of this together in a virtual experience for the international student and the global student. And finally, this is kind of the hub of our spoke strategy, with examples being like Schoolcraft, where we have the facilities that are remote, small, and integrate with our main campus.
Excellent, and we can't wait to get the Schoolcraft facility up and running. We were we had a guest on earlier tonight about that. And now, one of the words I hear a lot in this innovative world of education is a flipped classroom. So, can you explain what that is to our listeners who might not know?
Yeah, well, really, it's the traditional. What's really happened is the traditional things that have happened in the classroom flip out, and essentially, the what we consider the lecture, the lockstep process of the educational system goes a little differently, where the student now actually can handle the lecture and that learning at their own pace and build their competencies at their own pace, and so use technology to allow the student to be self-paced, and then you use the classroom, so you're really flipping it, to be the application of that learning, and that could be many different ways, one of which, of course, is simulation gaming, where we're actually using that as a project-based learning environment.
Right, and you talk about simulation gaming, and that also is becoming a very popular thing of gaming. Now, is this, to a person who might not be that familiar with it, is it similar to the extremely popular video games that most youngsters are growing up with?
Well, there are similarities in that you are dealing with what you'd call a game setting.
Okay.
I guess the first difference is the goals in a traditional video game are primarily one of entertainment.
Right.
And basically, they're fun. That's
right.
Why we're attracted to them.
Right.
In this setting, we're actually using it as an educational experience. So the purpose to begin with is really learning. And it's using that and the drawing of the fun and that experience to bring learning in a new method. And where it gets a little different is now we're building in complex problem solving. You're bringing in reality. You still may have that sort of cinematic visual side,
right,
but the underlying models now are much more complex. So you could be solving engineering or business problems with as an individual or in a team setting in very unique ways. And it just takes the educational experience to a new level. And so a little different, but it has some similarities.
Yeah, similarities. And I think the technology and the fun part is still there. We're talking with Bill McCreary, who's the executive director of the University of Toledo One World Schoolhouse. And one of the other elements of that I mentioned when I started talking with you, you're out in California, and we have a very exciting building that's under construction that's called the Interprofessional Immersive Simulation Center. It's on the UT Health Science campus. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and how it might be connected to your One World Schoolhouse.
Absolutely. So, in fact, I'm with the team, some of the team from what we call the ISKE Center.
Okay.
We're out here in California looking at some very interesting technology, much more on the cinematic side. And some of the people actually with us are from the movie industry,
mm-hmm.
People that have worked with ILM and Lucasfilms and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the ISKE Center is, of course, very focused on the health science campus and, of course, the medical simulations. And in that environment, the cinematic or the visual piece, that immersive reality of the visual piece is very important. So we might want to go inside a heart, and we medical students need to look inside the heart and see how things are functioning. And that's, you know, a very characteristic piece of military simulations or medical simulations. In the things that we'll do in the One World Schoolhouse, it actually complements. We're building the much more sophisticated model side, complexity in the underlying models. And while the visual piece is very interesting, it isn't always necessary. In some cases, we'll work together and provide very complex models with the extra visual piece. So we might be building a engineering simulation that involved a problem solving of doing, let's say, designing a new piece of machinery. And we have the visual pieces and we have some of the complex model pieces underneath it. So they work together. It's very much a complementary relationship.
Wow. I can't wait for the building to open and sort of coincide with the great things that you're doing. And what will be included in the Learning Innovation Laboratory Division that will work closely with the education?
Okay, so that is actually now applying some of these new technologies in as an incubator. So it allows us to do a couple of things. One, we can continuously bring to our campus technologies and validate them, test them, and actually try them out with new processes that are at the emerging end of educational technology. So we might be trying things, for example, in augmented reality, which is a new kind of a area where the educational world is trying to go. It allows us also to have a little incubator and actually a learning environment for our student teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually providing them sort of an incubator to learn how to use these technologies to teach in the new world, sort of the teacher of the future.
Gotcha.
So it's doing lots of things. It's where it allows us to collaborate and create new things and also advance our student teachers to a new level.
Well, we're fortunate to have you and your experience leading the way at the One World Schoolhouse at UT, and UT is really trying to be a world leader in this new evolution of education. So, Bill, thanks for being on the Relevant University. I look forward to working with you when you return from California.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Safe travels. Yep. Yep. Safe travels. That was Bill McCreary, who is the new UT One World Schoolhouse leader. And none of these initiatives discussed today would be possible without a shared commitment to excess and strong partnerships. The Michigan Community College Association advocates on behalf of the state's 28 public community colleges, and we'll learn more about their efforts when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight's program is sponsored by the University of Toledo. And here's your host, Larry Burns.
There are 28 public community colleges in Michigan serving more than 470,000 students. The Michigan Community College Association provides leadership to those member colleges. As an advocate for community colleges, the association works to improve the image and credibility of colleges and fosters and supports collaborations and partnerships. Mike Hansen, the president of the association, is here today to tell us more about their efforts to support the state's community college network. Mike, welcome to the Relevant University.
Great. Thanks, Larry. Good to be here.
Very, very impressive numbers, 470,000 students. That's bigger than Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, that's almost half of all the undergraduates in the state of Michigan, and that's pretty consistent nationwide.
I think
community colleges serve about 40 to 45% of all the undergraduates in the country.
Yeah, and the more I am involved with community colleges, the more I'm impressed. And as you know, we have a new partnership with Schoolcraft College, and we're just delighted to be included in that. So one of the things I thought we would give you the opportunity to tell our listeners about the Michigan Community College Association and the work that you do. And so what are some of your priorities right now as you look forward to your efforts?
Yeah, well, thanks. The state of Michigan is somewhat unique among community college systems across the country in that there is no state government role or function or oversight in Michigan, whereas in many other states, there's a department or a state agency that oversees and controls community colleges. In Michigan, as set up in our state constitution, community colleges are independent and locally governed and controlled entities that are managed and operated by locally elected trustees.
And funded that way, correct?
And also funded locally, yeah. I mean, in part. About a third of the, about now 40% of their operating revenue comes from local taxpayers.
Okay.
So the other 40% from tuition and 20% from state resources. But
okay,
that gives the local community colleges a lot of autonomy and ability to respond to local needs, and whether it comes to setting programs or developing and canceling programs, hiring and firing faculty and that kind of thing. All those decisions are made locally.
Mm-hmm.
So the association ends up serving that coordinating or collective voice for community colleges, and one of the primary ways we do that is in our advocacy in front of the state legislature and the administration, and also with the federal government. We act as sort of the voice of community colleges in Michigan.
Right, and so that deals a lot with state legislators and other elements that might impact a community college.
That's correct. Yep.
And so one of the things we've been talking about today on the show is relationships and partnerships between community colleges and universities. I mentioned the new partnership that the university has with Schoolcraft College. Mm-hmm. That also includes Wayne State, so we're delighted to work with them as well. And mm-hmm. and why are these partnerships, and I hope you believe that they're important, and why, if indeed that's true, why are they important to help students interested in continuing their education beyond an associate's degree? And what does that mean to community colleges, in your opinion?
Well, you know, the mission of a community college is very comprehensive. In other words, we serve lots of different needs for lots of different people. But we do know that about half of the students that attend a community college are there because they ultimately want to transfer their credits to a four-year university to get a baccalaureate degree. And so we are interested in the community college sector in providing as many different options and pathways to that baccalaureate degree as possible. In fact, Michigan was the national leader in a model called the University Center.
Mm-hmm.
If you go onto many campuses of Michigan Community College, you'll find an actual building or set of buildings that house nothing but university programs. So students can complete their associate's degree on one side of the sidewalk and walk across the sidewalk and complete their baccalaureate degree in a pretty much a seamless fashion from a four-year partner at Lansing Community College here in Lansing that I see every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a university center. I think they have 8 or 10 university partners. So Michigan State is there, Siena Heights, a number of different other four-year universities are there for students to continue their baccalaureate degree in a number of programs that are right on the campus of the community college. That's just one model.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different ways in which we're trying to figure out easy pathways for students that want to get their baccalaureate degree, and that happens to be one.
Do you know, just off the top of your head, of the 470,000 students, would you say the majority are traditional age or non-traditional age students, traditional being right out of high school?
Well, that's interesting. You know, the average age of a community college student is about 26.
Okay. So a little older than the traditional age.
It is much older. Yeah. And if you were to attend any given class, you may see people in their 60s and 70s, and you'll also see a handful of the traditional 18 to 22-year-olds. We tend to see the average age creep up, however, in times of economic downturn, as adult workers are being laid off or transitioned out of what we call old school jobs or old skill jobs. They come back to the community college often to get reskilled and learn new skills that they can take to the workforce. And so The average age will fluctuate as the economy fluctuates, as again, older workers see the community college as their option of choice when it comes to getting reskilled.
We're talking with Mike Hansen, who's the president of the Michigan Community College Association. And one last question our listeners are going to want to know about, the newly created Michigan Center for Student Success.
So, you know, if you were to, or one of your listeners were to right now Google student success, you would probably come up with 30 or 40 different national initiatives all around student success. So for a long time, the mission of community colleges was all about access. And so we were the opportunity for anybody that wanted to come and improve themselves. We would figure out a way to get you in the front door and get you signed up for classes. But we soon realized that that wasn't enough, that it's not enough just to get access, give access to people. We also have to make sure that they complete, and they complete with a degree or credential that has value in the labor market. And so there have been a number of initiatives funded by governments, funded by foundations and other funders, to look at improving the success rates of community college graduates, recognizing that that's what's really important, is to get these students a degree or credential. And so the Community College Association approached the Kresge Foundation 3 years ago with this idea of creating a center within the Community College Association that was laser-focused and intentional about coordinating best practices around student success. And it has now become a national model. There are three other states that have created student success centers, and there's a host of other states that are interested in looking at this. But we're fortunate that Kresge chose Michigan to be one of the lead states in this. And it's really done a remarkable job in focusing attention and efforts around student success in Michigan.
Great. Well, now I know why I'm so impressed with community colleges everywhere I go. It's because of people like you and your association. And so keep up the great work. We'll keep you posted about Schoolcraft. Hopefully we'll have some other partners both in Michigan and Ohio. And I want to thank Mike Hansen for being on the Relevant University.
Great. Thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
I'm your host, Larry Burns, Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo. And the University of Toledo is proud to sponsor this program. For more information on the Relevant University, you can visit us at www.utoledo.edu/the Relevant University. And please follow us on Twitter at RelevantU. That's at RelevantU. Or you can contact me at any time at lawrence.burns2@utoledo.edu. lawrence.burns2@utoledo.edu. And join us again next time for more discussion on the role of colleges and universities in their communities right here on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes. News Talk 760 WJR.